Let the party begin here in West Lafayette.
One of the top five places to watch a college basketball game.
I would argue you can't find a better one.
Three on the way. Bullseye!
I feel the electricity in the house. The passion.
It's a wall of sound. Here and back.
It is Paul McCray. They got a wall of vacuum.
Planted for three.
This is the Boiler Ball Podcast.
Welcome to the Purdue Basketball Podcast. I'm Elliot Bloom, joined by the voice of the Boilermakers, Rob Blackman.
Fans, as we look ahead here, episode 100 just around the corner here on the Boiler Ball Podcast. Episode 100 will be a behind-the-scenes look at 2023-24. The head coach of the Boilers, Matt Painter, he'll join Rob and I, and we will look back on all things that has been the previous season and talk about the Boilermakers' 26th Big Ten title and their march to the Final Four. We would like to offer everyone a chance to drop in a question for Coach Painter. We'll go through the best samples and submissions and pick which ones we feel are worthy and put those in front of Coach Painter. So if you have a good question that you'd like to have answered, drop us a line, boilerballpodcast@gmail.com. Again, boilerballpodcast@gmail.com. Send us your questions. Rob and I will peruse those and pick out our favorites and ask those to Coach Painter here on episode 100 upcoming in the Boiler Ball Podcast series.
Episode 98 here on the podcast as we march towards 100 and also come down the home stretch of our senior series here. Mm-hmm. Six seniors here on the 2023-24 Boilermakers, and today we are fortunate enough to be joined by Lance Jones. Yeah. Thanks for taking time to join us, Lance.
Of course.
Okay, so we have a lot to get into. As we tape this, it is now fully postseason. Mm-hmm. So we are now going on a couple weeks removed from the Final Four run. Before we get into a little bit about your background and stuff, quick thoughts on when you committed to us. Yeah. Now fast forward to where you're at now.
Yeah.
Could you have dreamt up a better way to conclude your college career?
No, absolutely not. I didn't really know what to expect, coming here just from being at a mid-major level for my previous 4 years and then just taking that leap to the high major level and just being on a prestigious program like this. I didn't really know what to expect.
Well, safe to say you've endeared yourself to our fan base and all of us. I mean, you were a pivotal piece in a Final Four team, a Big Ten championship team, and a national finalist team as well.
Yeah. When was the aha moment for you when it hit you that I'm on a really good team, that this could be a really special team? When was that moment for you?
I would say, I think Alabama. Mm. We were in Toronto. Alabama came out swinging. I think they hit 16 threes in the first half.
Something. Maybe 13, 16, something like
13
that.
13 in the first half, I think 16 for
the
game.
Yeah, 13 in the first half. Like that, yeah. And we were down, 4 points?
It was crazy.
Yeah. And just the way that we stuck together and, I don't know, just the way we just pushed through and didn't hang our heads and the way we just fought that whole game and just got that gritty win. That was like my aha moment for sure.
So let's talk about, I know you're from Evanston, born and raised in Evanston, or did you live anywhere before that?
Nope, born and raised.
Okay. So growing up in Evanston, how early is your earliest recollection of basketball?
I would say maybe about 6 or 7. I was growing up watching my older brother play basketball, traveling with him, watching him play. So that's kind of my, recollection of basketball.
So watching him play, did you have a ball or in the corner of the gym, dribbling around, that kind of thing?
Yeah, for sure. I used to go to his practices and shoot on the side baskets, for sure.
He is how much older than you?
8 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So you were one of the kids at halftime, you're out there shooting. All right, come on, get off the floor. We got to start the second half.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. For sure.
So 8 years older, so that's a pretty big gap. So Do you remember when he was on the high school team?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then was it like, were you kind of in awe of him and the high school guys?
Yeah, just a little bit. You know, his high school career didn't last that long. Okay. Obviously, there's two paths in life, and, you know, he kind of slipped up in the beginning. So his high school career didn't last that long, but when it did, when it was going on, I do remember that, and just being around all those guys, and I mean, they seemed famous to me.
Yeah. We talk about that with so many guys that, like, if you have an older sibling and you're around a high school team, you know, that's your Lakers when you're a kid.
Oh, like, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Parents growing up, did they have any sports backgrounds?
My mom ran track and my dad played basketball. But my dad didn't play at the collegiate level, and neither did my mom.
So was there any expectations for you to play, or is this something you just kind of had that drive to get into?
I think just with my dad playing and then my brother playing, I think it was kind of an expectation for me to play. I tried football when I was young, and I quickly realized that was not for me.
Quickly. You and a lot of other people.
Yeah, quickly.
Yeah. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Baseball or anything else? Just football was the only other sport.
Yeah, no. Just football was the only sport. My brother played, I think, soccer, football, baseball. So he tried everything. Me, I was strictly with hoops. Huh. So.
And I assume a Bulls guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Growing up. Yeah.
Now, when you are you old, young enough to remember, like, was Jordan still doing his thing?
Mm-mm.
No. You missed him.
Yeah, I was born in 2000.
Yeah, so you got some bad teams.
Yeah, I mean, I was a LeBron fan growing up, but you know that Bulls team when you know Derrick Rose was the MVP,
and then
they snapped the Heat's win streak. I remember all of that.
Yeah, that's kind of like that would be kind of like if you're an indie guy like I am and Reggie and them. You know, you had that really iconic team that you just kind of gravitated to.
Yeah,
team that finally broke through, beat the Knicks.
Yeah.
To get to the final. So similar, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, everybody probably was just Bulls, and they were all because of Jordan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So that being said, did you catch a lot of, you know what, for preferring LeBron?
Yeah, I did.
And did you argue that in the GOAT debates, that, you know, you're a LeBron guy? Is that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, my whole thing about that is everybody looks good on highlights. I wasn't alive to see Michael Jordan, so I can only speak for what I've seen. So
you just happen to grow up in the hornet's nest, where when you say that, it's probably blasphemy, right?
Yeah, for sure.
What about collegiately? You're right there in Evanston, in Northwestern's backyard.
Yeah.
Did you follow Northwestern basketball, or didn't care either way?
No, I followed a little bit. I definitely went to some games. You know, I had a friend growing up that was a huge Wisconsin fan. So I went to a couple games when they, you know, when Wisconsin had like Sam Decker, Frank Kaminsky, that good team. So I followed Northwestern a little bit, but you know, my favorite college team growing up was Kentucky for sure.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then as you obviously you're into the game, you get older, you make the high school team.
Yeah.
Talk about your high school career, and you played for a guy that we're familiar with in our program. We have some familiarity there.
Yeah. Well, freshman year, you know, I practiced with varsity. I only played varsity towards the end of the year, but before that, I was on sophomore. And then once I got the starting role as a freshman on varsity toward the end of the year, you know, I kind of didn't look back. I just went full steam ahead.
When you look back on your high school career, how much success did you guys have as a team?
I think we had a lot of success. I mean, obviously we didn't win state, but I think I have over 110 wins and less than 15 losses.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's doing something.
Yeah.
And I mentioned your high school there, Nogel Eastern, played there.
Yep.
There's another tie-in there, too. We had drawn a blank.
Everett Stevens played.
Everett Stevens. No, well, was Gordon Watt there, too?
That I don't know.
I don't know if Gordon was there.
But I know Coach Payne said to Everett.
Yeah.
Was there and then came here.
Yeah, of course, Everett was a member of the 87-88 team and legendary player here. So a lot of tie-ins from Purdue into the Evanston high school basketball scene in kind of a unique way. So at what point did you start figuring out that I might be able to get a scholarship out of this deal and play at the next level?
I would say my sophomore year, just playing on the circuit with Mean Streets. I kind of had a couple good games and with coaches in the stands that, you know, kind of got my name out there. Obviously, with being on the team with No Jill, him being heavily recruited out of high school, there was a lot of coaches in there. Coach B was in there a couple of times.
Yeah,
Coach Paint. So I saw a lot of the, you know, big schools there. And, you know, that kind of just made me take my game to the next level for sure.
So then at what point did you start hearing from schools and saying, okay, here's the teams I'm starting to hear from the most, and figuring out too, because when you're young like that, you know, the goal is obviously D1. As you get a little bit older, you start figuring out, okay, what level of D1,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely. I would say, I think going into my junior year is when I got my first offer from UAB. And
was that like a moment? Did you and the family have a moment?
Oh,
like,
God, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. Just because of how my brother, like how, you know, how he was growing up and, you know, how he took the path that he did. And, you know, him taking the path that he did helped me stay focused, and it helped me more than he knows. And yeah, just seeing all the hard work that I put in pay off and to get my first Division I offer, I mean, it was unreal.
I gotta imagine the Blooms have never been that gifted to get a scholarship. So I gotta imagine, though, as a family, like how cool that is. You know, I mean, let's face it, like, college is expensive.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like, hey, you get that moment. It's like, man, this is a big deal for a lot of reasons. I mean, obviously, you get to go chase a dream.
Yeah.
But also for any family to be able to go get a great education and not have to bear the burden of the cost, that's a really cool moment.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. The whole thing was just crazy. Going on the visits, it was all crazy. But I didn't have a lot of scholarship. I think I only had 4 or 5.
Okay.
And then my 17U, I didn't do good on the circuit. And a lot of people don't know this, but I lost, I think, 3 of my scholarships.
Really? Wow. So people started pulling offers?
Yeah. Coaches stopped contacting. Didn't tell me why, but, you know, it was kind of one of those things where I knew why.
Yeah.
So my back was against the ropes, and family was panicking. I was panicking. So then it was kind of just a impulse decision. I just told my mom, like, yeah, I'm just going to commit to Southern. And she was like, just call your dad and tell him. So then that's what I did, and then I called the coaches and just committed right away.
So if I'm hearing correctly, you had 4 scholarship offers.
Yeah.
Southern Illinois was one of the 4.
Southern Illinois.
3 of the other 4.
Yep.
Pulled the offer.
Yeah.
So you had 1 option left.
One option.
Wow.
Yeah, 1 option. Wow. Yeah, it was... That was a crazy, crazy time.
That would be a stressful time too, yeah, I would think, for your family.
Yeah, for sure, definitely.
But it's a good move. Like, that's a good move. That's a mature move on your part. Now, did anybody counsel you up to do that, or is that something you kind of looked at and said, hey, I need to grab this before?
I think it was me saying, I just need to grab this before. You know, I had some people in my ear, old coaches. But when I committed to Southern, there was a different coaching staff. So once I committed, that coaching staff got fired, and now I'm thinking, like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
So then that's when, you know, Coach Mullins, he called me when I was on spring break, and, you know, he extended his offer and said that I still had it on the table. So it was...
Oh, that made you feel good, huh?
Yeah, it was real good. It was a sign of relief for sure.
You talk about leaning on older coaches, and obviously you've made some really good decisions. Do you... As you're in the world of basketball and being a young person and growing up in a big city and, you know, seeing it always amazes me how many guys don't make good decisions and like how many tragic stories there are, maybe tragic's a little bit harsh, but maybe in some cases of just guys that had great opportunities that because of some poor decision making and not listening to the right people, it doesn't work out for them.
Yeah, no. I think just having the right people in your corner and not being afraid to just ask for advice and ask for help. That's something that I had to learn, and I think that's helped me get to where I am today. It's just being able to ask for help and just learning from other people.
That's a young, I think that's a young person thing to get over. Is being, you know, because you are like you're, you want to be, I guess, you know, the three of us at this table, at some point we were all young men. Like you don't have it figured out.
You know,
you know, when you're young, you think you do. Well, hell, I still don't have it figured out. But you think you have it figured out, and it takes a little vulnerability to be able to say to somebody, you know, hey, I need help. For sure. I do not know what I'm doing.
Yeah, definitely.
Had you visited Southern? Had you been on an official all that to Southern Illinois?
Yeah, with the old coaching staff, I've been on an official. Sure.
So you had been to Carbondale. Yeah. Then. You realized it's not much like Evanston.
No. Yeah, no.
Okay.
Totally different.
Did you have a little shock when you were down there? Like, whoa.
Just being around college people, it was like, oh, man, it was just like a different lifestyle there. It was just crazy. I mean, you're not with your family. You're on your own.
Yeah.
So, it was all different.
How often, do you remember when you first got to campus, like how long was it till you saw your parents again?
Oh, my freshman year when I first got to campus, I think Christmas.
Wow, so you had a long break.
Yeah, long.
Yeah.
It was brutal. It was brutal. Just being, spending every day with my family and then just being sent off and... Yeah, it was brutal.
And as you know, there's no easy way from Evanston to Carbondale.
No.
I mean, that is a long trip.
Yeah, five and a half, 6 hours.
Complicated trip, yes.
Yeah, that's why I was asking, because when, you know, you go make the journey and the, all right, you take the plunge, I'm away at school, it's a little bit of a shock, especially from what you did. You know, it'd be different if, like, you went from a city to a city or vice versa. Or,
yeah.
You know, but you went from 5-6 hours away to really a totally different planet.
Totally different. It's crazy. Yeah.
Did you have any moments where, like, what have I done?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was just, it was really dry out there and nobody's out there. It was...
Did you call home and say that?
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
And what was the message back to you from mom and dad?
My mom was like, well, you just got to focus on basketball. Just try to use basketball to just blank everything out.
Once again, good advice from...
But being a freshman away from your parents, you're like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I need you guys more than you know.
We've had that over the years here, you know, where, you know, and sometimes we hear about it right away. Sometimes we don't hear about it. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I hear about it 4 or 5 years later. And, like, you know, my freshman year, my mom and dad had to talk me out of coming home. We were like, really? We never knew that.
Yeah.
But I think that's probably more common than people realize.
Yeah, it is.
So, You stay, obviously. You fight through your freshman year.
Yeah.
When did you start to kind of gain traction down there and start to get in the rotation and feel good about, you know?
Well, we had a point guard who was a senior when I was a freshman. And crazy story. We're playing Murray State. This is the year after John Morant left, so he wasn't there.
Okay.
We're playing Murray State. I sub in. I turn the ball over. And Marcus Demask, who's on Illinois, he commits his second foul. Mind you, he was our guy freshman year.
Okay.
I sub out. Don't play the rest of the game. I think I played 30 seconds. Our starting point guard, ended up breaking his hand that game.
Oh.
So he's out for the season. So the next game against St. Louis, I'll never forget it, I'm starting. Shaking.
I was going to say, nerves.
Yeah. Oh, my God. But
was it home or on the road?
It was on the road.
Oh. So your first start, you're in St. Louis.
Yes.
Starting.
Yes. Okay. That's when they had, you know, Jordan Goodwin, who's, I think, I forgot what team he's on. Oh, he's on Memphis now. They had some good people. And ever since that game, I was starting ever since.
And how'd you do in that game?
I did pretty solid.
Obviously, you did well enough to keep your job.
Yeah. So I didn't do too bad, but it was crazy, though, how the turn of events happened.
And you guys did you get better every year? I know you had a really good year your last year there.
Freshman year we were pretty good. Sophomore year, the COVID year, we started off 7-0, went to Butler, beat Butler, and then we just tanked. Yeah, it was bad.
Well, COVID years, I can barely remember any of that anyway.
it was brutal. Junior year, we got a little bit better, but then my senior year, last year was the best year for sure.
Yeah, you guys had a good team, good record.
Mm-hmm.
When did you know you were going to take a fifth year, and when did you know it was going to be somewhere else?
I would say, I think once we lost. Obviously, it was kind of speculation throughout the whole year. what my next step was going to be. But, you know, I kind of wanted to just focus on that year because obviously I had my brother in my ear saying to transfer. My dad's in my ear saying to transfer. They wanted me to transfer after my junior year.
Oh, okay.
And, like, my dad was on the phone with coaches, and Southern coach found out, and they called me in for a meeting. I said I wasn't leaving, so that's when I came back. But then, yeah, I kind of knew fairly quickly that I was going to try to do something else just for the better.
That time where we want to acknowledge our good friends over at the This is Purdue podcast. It's the official podcast of Purdue University. From leading NASA missions to creating life-saving cancer treatments to reaching victory lane at the Indy 500, This is Purdue is your destination for the Boilermaker stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. They do great work over there and have been good partners here throughout this this past season of our podcast, so we want to acknowledge our good friends over at This is Purdue.
And then I don't know from your end as much. I know from our end, you know, we got done. We have a hole to fill. You know, David Jenkins is out the door. We need a guard. We need ideally a guy who can help on the defensive side, who can handle the ball. And Coach Lusk brought your name to the table. We start. I never forget sitting in the conference room watching film. We pulled up a bunch of film on you. And I remember you shooting deep threes. Was a lot of your synergy clips.
Yeah.
Like, this dude loves to shoot from the logo. What is going on here?
Yes.
And I just remember it was really good. It was really a good feeling to know that we knew so many people around you, because we knew your high school coach, Mike Ellis.
Yep.
Obviously, Brian Mullins at Southern and the relationship that Matt has with Southern and all that.
Yeah.
So we had two, you know, authorities on you basically from a basketball standpoint.
Yeah.
And I just, as you go through this process, and we haven't done it a ton, but when we do, we have gone into the portal, you know, normally we recruit a high school kid and we're spending months figuring out stuff on him.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have that time in the portal. Yeah, so like the coaches are all trying to do legwork, and we would meet every morning. Okay, what do we find out? What do we find out?
Yeah.
And every time your name kept coming up, I was like, man, everything sounds just almost too good to be true. Like all the boxes were getting checked. What was going on during that time on your end?
Oh, once I first entered the portal, and it kind of went public, my phone was, it was buzzing. But I think later that night or the next day, Coach Pauly reached out on Twitter, said that, you know, he was interested in my game and stuff like that. And he gave me his number. We were talking on there, and once Coach Pauly said that he wants to get me out here as soon as possible, I kind of knew I was going to commit here.
Really?
Yeah. I called my dad, and I was like, hey, man, you got to take off of work. He said, why? I was like, man, we're going on a visit to Purdue. He said, what? I was like, yeah, bro, like, you got to take off. So then we made the trip down here as soon as possible because obviously Coach Payne had to go to L.A. for Zach.
Yeah, the Wooden Award stuff,
Yeah, so I saw him. I saw Payne for a little bit, and I think I got down here right when the live period opened.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Because you met with Payne, and then he left the next day, right? And then it was
he
just
left the
us.
Same day.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he left the same day.
Yep,
because I was here Friday, Saturday.
Yep. So
Payne left that Friday.
That's right. Man, that was quick after the year then.
Yeah,
it was right as, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I knew I didn't want to be in the portal that long, obviously, because everybody's going to say the same thing, everything you want to hear. And, yeah, I talked to Coach Ellis, and he gave me a little background. And, you know, he checked all the boxes. And once I have somebody in my corner that has the ultimate trust in somebody else, then obviously I'm going to lean toward that program.
Yeah, that was a big help, that previous relationship and that trust factor. Yeah.
Was it Purdue and no one else as far as in your mind, or did you even contemplate another school not named Purdue?
No. I mean, obviously I had other schools reaching out, but once you guys were keeping in contact consistently, it was a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie, I wasn't answering no phone calls for...
No other visits to any other schools?
No.
Gotcha.
No, I took one visit here and committed on my visit. Mm. Yeah.
Well, it was a unique visit. Your dad got sick here when he was here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember our guys all coming by and kind of... It was so surreal because our guys just kind of jumped in to help, right?
Yeah, it was crazy. I had to leave the room, but... Zach was in there, Mason was in there, like just seeing how they reacted so quickly.
Yeah,
it was kind of like natural.
Yeah, and yeah. We had to call the EMT on campus to come over. Mm-hmm. Your dad went to the hospital.
Yep.
And just our guys were swinging through, and we were going to have them say hi because they were coming through the building anyway.
Yeah.
And so as they were here, this all kind of happens, and if you didn't know any better, you would have thought it was scripted, like the way our players reacted. I just remember being proud of them because they initially, like, they could tell, like, Lance, like, you know, when you see your dad going through something, it's not easy.
Yeah, for sure.
And they grabbed you. They went into the another office here and just started talking. And like, hey, man, let's talk about ball or something. Yeah. Like, let's get your mind off.
Yeah, for sure. Just the way it definitely took my mind off of talking to them and just having them there, you know, it made that whole situation easier for sure.
And you felt, I felt on that visit, I'm like, hey, man, this is a Purdue dude here. Like, this is, he's just us. Like, you just felt, it just felt it, right?
Yeah,
did you feel that? Did it make you feel good when you left here off that visit? Like, okay, what I thought would be the case is the case?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. It's that feeling when you know you know.
Yeah.
And I definitely had that feeling. It was just, I don't know, it was kind of butterflies just leaving my body for sure.
So it's been documented, you know, well on the journey and other places. You know, you ended up losing your dad.
Yeah.
And how did you seem to have dealt with it amazingly?
Yeah.
I mean, I give you all the credit in the world because I know there were times when we were checking in on you, like, yeah, you good? Everything good? And like, you never wavered. Like, yeah, I'm good, man.
Yeah.
But like, were there moments that you were like, man, this is really, really hard?
I would say the hardest part was like before we went to Europe in the summer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I went home for my cousin's birthday. It was July 22nd. I think I saw him at the hospital July 22nd or the 23rd. And he was awake. He knew what was going on. And then I left Sunday to come back to school. And I think within that week, everything just changed, and I think that was the hardest thing, because obviously I was in and out of here.
Yeah,
I didn't really get a groove with the players and working out and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean that whole time was crazy. I was contemplating on even going to Europe.
Yep, I remember having those talks with you.
Yeah. My mom was like, "Man, you just got to do it." I mean, obviously he would want you to do it, and I went to Europe, and he was on my mind just. Heavy, he was on my mind for sure. And then when I got back, you said I could stay in. My girlfriend picked me up. You said I can stay in Chicago.
Yeah.
Went to see him, and that was that weekend was my last time.
That was kind of touch and go at that point. I remember you were on the fence, and I said, "Hey, man, like, you do what you want to do, and like everybody here's got your back."
Yeah.
Which is still hard to trust a new place. I mean, we could say whatever we want, but at the end of the day, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But you did. You trusted us. And if something would have happened, we would have got you back
ASAP. Sure.
But
for sure.
But got to go on the trip, had a great time,
got
back. I guess in your way, got to say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll never forget when our players came forward, I had actually had a bus lined up.
Really?
And I was like, okay, we're gonna do this. Like, we're gonna go up there.
Yeah.
And no sooner had I done that that Fletch and a couple other guys hit me up, are like, hey man, we need to go see Lance.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it's crazy you just said that because I just got a bus lined up.
Yeah. No, that was insane.
And then we went up to Evanston there, and I don't know if that was the start of this team really getting even closer, because I think you guys got pretty close on Europe, but that was certainly a big piece as well.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely. Just walking in, and obviously because I was helping my mom with the whole process of, you know, helping my dad out, and just seeing them kind of eased it for me. Just having my brothers in that room, it made me more emotional, but it also helped me out.
I think it was emotional for all of us, but it was, I don't remember a time when we've had a quicker connection with a guy than we have with you. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I talk to people, I'm like, every time your name comes up, the conversation appears like we've known each other for 40 years. It's just, it's been awesome.
Yeah,
so.
It has been.
And I would, on top of that, I would add the connection that our fan base had with you and you with the fan base.
Yeah.
It felt as if you had been here for 5 years.
I know.
Unbelievable.
I've never had a fan base embrace me the way that it's been here. Mm-hmm. Like, never. I mean, obviously, high school is different. That's home. But, like, college at Southern, I mean, the fan base was good, but it wasn't this.
Yeah,
it wasn't this. No.
What do you think? What do you think that you brought to the table that made them gravitate to you and really fall in love with you the way they did?
I would just say my happiness.
Just, I would agree.
Yeah, I just say my happiness and just being excited to be on the court and playing. I don't think I've played. No, I know I haven't played with this much happiness and excitement ever in basketball.
There was some stories that have been coming out the last few weeks about just things you would do to some of the guys behind the scenes, text messages, or things you would say to them. Talk about that a little bit, like things you would do to some of our guys to kind of get them going before a game, night before a game.
Yeah.
Because if there's one thing you add, I would say your happiness, your personality, but also your fearlessness.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, I'll shoot it. Cool. Yeah. Like, I'll shoot it. Like, I'll... Yeah. Like, we needed that.
Yeah.
That was something we needed. Yeah. Like, I think our guys had that,
mm-hmm.
but it was buried. And I think you really helped bring that out of some guys. Talk about some of the stuff you would do to help our guys along in that regard.
Yeah. It was before a couple of big games. You know, I would text Zach and say, I mean, we go as you go. I mean, you're the big fella. You get us going. And, you know, I need you to be special tomorrow. I would text Braden, you're the head of the snake, man. Like, you. I mean, you run the show, and we go as you go as well. And, you know, I would just text those guys and just give them just little reminders just to let them know how special they are to not only me but to the team as well. And that, I mean, we go as they go. Obviously, Braden and Zach together is a hell of a duo, but us all together is just a crazy, crazy team.
Well, and I would say all you together, especially when you have that confidence.
Yeah.
Like, that's the stuff. Do you remember when we were going to Hawaii, and you had never been, right?
Nope.
And you were able to take your mom on that trip?
My mom and girlfriend, yeah.
Yeah, mom and girlfriend got to go on that trip.
Yep.
And a lot of that was made possible through NIL, which is a, you know, you're playing in such a cool age of basketball at the college level because all these, I mean, we referenced COVID here, which nobody wants to go back to.
Yeah.
But now we're in this age of NIL and transferring and stuff like that, and you're a guy that, like, it's worked out so well for you. The transfer's worked out well. The NIL's worked out well. You get here, you get to go on a kind of a once-in-a-lifetime trip to Hawaii.
Yeah. Oh, to Hawaii, yeah.
Yeah.
In Europe.
Yeah, in Europe as well. Yeah. But when we go to Hawaii and able to take your mom and your girlfriend, when you committed to us and you saw that schedule then, did you have a like, oh, wow, we're going to Hawaii and playing these guys? Because that field was so good, right?
Yeah, for sure. Because, I mean, obviously, I'm just used to seeing mid-major teams, one high-major team, then the rest, you know?
Yeah.
But then once I saw the schedule, I was like, okay, we playing some real dudes.
Yeah, like so, who was the best team you played at Southern when you were there?
I think Mizzou when Coach Martin was there. And they
gotcha.
Had, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was the best team.
Yeah. So now you're playing a gym, you know, a gym full of Mizzou's. I mean, it's everybody out there. I mean, and even
what a field.
Even for guys like us who've been around a while, like,
oh,
it's like
loaded.
Holy cow, like we got to be ready to go out there or you're going to go 0-3.
Yeah. Yeah. I can remember Lance summer workouts after you had committed. I pop in every now and again. I was talking to Coach Lusk.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Well, you know what about our team? What do you think?" And this is word for it. He said, "I think Lance Jones is going to start for us." I said, "What? The dude from Southern Illinois?" He said, "I'm telling you, I think he's going to start for us. You started every single game, obviously."
Yeah, that was a shocker to me as well. That was a shocker just because I knew.
Well, so let me stop you. Coming into it, what did you think your role would be?
Defense, just picking up the load when I needed to.
Playing off the bench, being a sub?
Yeah, I didn't think I was going to start.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think I was going to start. But I kind of made it an emphasis and a priority to get in the gym. I saw Zach working, get the employ. Why am I not working if he's doing it?
Mm.
I heard about the plays.
Yeah, I heard about the plays.
The thousands of plays.
Yeah, gotta know the plays if you want to play.
Yeah, I heard about those, so I immediately texted PJ asking to watch film. So we did that. Watched film, did walkthroughs, and I think it was just playing with confidence. I didn't think I was going to start, but you know, I came in trying to just earn Paint's trust, show the guys that I belonged, and just live with the result.
Well, you're able to defensively guard people, but you know, in a way we haven't had in a couple of years, yeah. Which was a huge plus. Another guy that could handle the ball was huge. You know, I can't tell you how many. There was a stretch 3-4 years ago where we struggled against pressing teams, and that, well, we set the tone on that game opening night against Samford, the team that pressed us, and we just decided to go run. And that was as fun of a non-conference game as I can imagine. And I think our fans walked out of there going, holy cow, like that was a blast.
Yeah.
And that would be a blast, too, to play in front of Mackey for the first time and then to be able to play in an up-and-down game like that.
Yeah, just my – I mean, obviously I heard stories about Mackey, but playing in it and just being in it is totally different.
Yeah.
It's a different animal. And I don't think I'll ever experience it again. I know I won't.
Yeah.
That's just – Mackey's crazy. The Paint crew is crazy. Just from top to bottom, it's just absurd.
And then one of the cooler, more organic moments in college basketball was when you did the dance and the
Lance dance.
But everything, the camera, the angle, the everything. Yeah. You know, it's just one of those things where like it's like a one in a million. The stars had to all be aligned.
Yeah,
and
no,
they were.
It was crazy.
And then when that clip, when that thing went out, like how much did your phone blow up when that went out and kind of went viral?
It was really crazy. I think I woke up I think Forma let me collab on it on Instagram, and I think I woke up the following morning and he said it was the most viewed on Boiler Ball and had the most likes. It was got a couple thousand followers off of that.
I mean at least so I would think that was awesome. I mean it just, and again, like you referenced it, the happiness you attack basketball and life with is the thing that I think will resonate with all of us the most. It's just like you were, I don't think I ever had a day where I would see you at the, you know, breakfast on the road or before practice or any time when you weren't like, hey man, ready to go, like here we go, and loud, and you know, and that's infectious, like that's great, that's what you want on a team. You have, you're either bringing energy or you're taking energy, and you certainly brought a lot of energy.
For sure.
That was one of the better social media moments we've ever had.
As an old timer.
Yeah, that was crazy.
So other regular season stuff, we get through the non-conference. You talked about Toronto, we talked about Hawaii. You know, we all had sights on the big picture.
Yeah.
And obviously the guys used last year as motivation. How was it for you, having not gone through last year, to still be able to kind of jump in and just pull the rope in the same direction? And, like, there were times I had to remind myself, man, Lance wasn't with us last year. That's right. He doesn't know what we went through over in Ohio, you know.
I would say just being around them and just kind of feeding off of their energy. Obviously, they came in and they played like they had a chip on their shoulder. And I'm all about, you know, playing with a chip on my shoulder. I wasn't heavily recruited. I didn't have the same opportunities as people. So my whole thing is proving my doubters wrong. And I think that's what the agenda was when I came in, and I can just tell. And that's what kind of made me work harder.
Yeah. Now, that's a good point. Yeah, that chip, and I think everybody carried around a chip. And to have one like that, that was
– Yeah.
That certainly was – because I don't ever remember a game this year where our guys didn't have that, you know. And there's been other games over the – you know, you look back at other seasons, you're like, yeah, we weren't our best that night.
Yeah.
Boy, if we weren't our best on some nights, we were still getting it done.
Yeah.
Good night here, obviously, when we clinched the Big Ten and celebrated here.
Mm-hmm.
What was better, that night or winning over to Illinois then?
I would say winning Illinois. Awesome. Just because of the hype that was built up, and people saying that they didn't have certain players the first time we played them, and a lot of people that, you know, are from this area that, I saw it all and heard it all. And for us to just go in there on their senior night and to just kind of ruin it, I think that was
the highlight of the regular season.
And playing against your former teammate,
yeah.
How was that? Was that I know we did it in Mackey earlier in the year, but just a weird feeling.
Yeah, it was just being competitive and playing against them and with them the last 4 years, and just seeing them in a different uniform was a shocker to me. But I think we enjoyed our moment on the court together. You know, we had fun, but we also were competitive and play serious together. It was crazy though.
And in such a high stakes game too.
I know. I think they were, what were they when we played them here? We were one. They were top 10, nine.
They were nine, maybe.
Oh no, boy, yeah, nine or eight, I think, if
something
I remember
like
correctly.
That.
Yeah.
So
were you and Marcus close at Southern?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was.
So did you guys communicate a lot during this past season with you at Purdue and he in Illinois? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did. I think he entered the portal a day before I did, and then I committed a day before he did.
Gotcha.
So we were kind of keeping tabs on each other with that. I think after they lost to Penn State, he texted me and said, well, congrats on a Big Ten championship.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That helped, yes.
Yeah. I'm like, man, you don't know it. Like, anything can happen.
No doubt.
He's like, bro, you guys are just blowing everybody out, and we're having close games. And I think we played Minnesota, and we were down, and I'm like, here it goes.
Mm-hmm. How fun was that to be on a team where you're going down the stretch and, like, you know, you're keeping tabs on everybody else? Like, that's just a good feeling.
It is. And then I think what we started, and we didn't have a good start. We started 0-1.
0-1,
against Northwestern. And I saw the talks on Twitter. And and then just the way that we just grinded it out and just stuck together and just pulled it out. It was just crazy. And we just separated ourselves.
Yeah, that was a special part of an overall, obviously, special season.
Yeah.
So as we leave Minnesota, mm-hmm. losing the Big Ten tournament, we get home, we're getting ready to start the NCAA. Anything that sticks out that you guys maybe talked about behind the scenes that, you know, all right, here we go, we're starting this run, or was it just pretty much business as usual?
No, what we did was we sent each other – in our group chat, we sent a picture of the Final Four trophy, like the national champion trophy, and the ball in Phoenix. We send it to each other all the time. It would be different people, Mason, me, Fletch, Chase. Everybody would just send it at different points just to keep everybody on the same page and, you know, locked in. And, you know, Mason would just say, just do your part, stay locked in. And everybody had different messages and, everybody would just like the message just to, you know, keep focused.
It was amazing to me through that run.
Yeah.
We would win games. And I think there was probably, I sensed a little bit of nerves at the very first game to get it out of our system, right?
Well, can I stop you right there?
Yeah.
It appeared to me, sitting courtside in that first half against Grambling, that you, Lance, in particular, were very nervous. Am I fair in that?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because I think you missed a wide open layup, and you did a couple things that very not very Lance Jones like.
Yeah, I think it was just obviously it's the pressure.
Sure. Yeah.
Also playing in Indy.
Fans
and just the stakes now.
Yeah.
I mean, now it's you win or you go home.
Right.
And I think my first NCAA game, I think personally I was really bad. I was really bad, and
I would say the first 20 minutes.
No, I think the whole game.
Oh, I thought you were better in the second half, but okay.
You know, I was a bucket magnet. Everybody was just scoring on me. It doesn't matter who had the ball. If I was guarding them, they were scoring. And I wanted to come out with a more defensive mindset, just to do something to help me get going. And, Coach B watched film with me and said that the Utah State point guard was the head of the snake and he gets them going. And I made it a point of emphasis to stop him.
Yeah.
And that's, you know. That's
and you did.
And you did, yes.
And you did.
Yeah.
Well, I thought one of the best aspects of the run in March was when you win a game, the NCAA people come in and they put the bracket in your locker. Yeah. And then they give you the Purdue and they want you to tape it on there. But they all make a big deal of it, like they and to some teams it's great, like it is a cool moment, right? I'm not trying to take away from the moment, but they would give the sticker to you guys,
mm-hmm.
And it was like, well, do we have to do this? And then somebody would go over and like, okay, here we go. And the photographer that the NCAA sends in, the camera guys would look around like, are you guys okay? Like, you just won a game. Like, what's wrong? And then the media would come in. So that one of the difference between the NCAA tournament and regular season is when you're done playing in the NCAA tournament, you have like a 5-minute cooling off period, and then your locker room opens up and the media comes in for 30 straight minutes. And you guys hate it. I get it. And you just got to sit there, and you can be on your phone or whatever, but you have to be available to talk to the media. And they would walk into our locker rooms through this run in March, and guys are just kind of chilling, and they're like, are you guys okay? Like, and even I think there was a couple stories done that, like, the mood is like they lost. But you guys just always had bigger things.
I think we were focused on the bigger picture. Even for it being my first time, I didn't really get too excited. I was just thinking, like, okay, that's one down. Next one up. We can't lose. That was kind of my thinking.
Well, we get home from Indy and go to Detroit and then and beat Gonzaga. And then Tennessee, two teams we had seen in Hawaii. The Tennessee game, back and forth, hard fought. We get down to, what, around 2 minutes to go, and that ball gets swung to you. Arguably one of the – well, not arguably. It's one of the biggest shots in Purdue basketball history. And and you even said that to me after the game. I brought up, or you brought up, and I said, you know, that's one of the biggest shots. In program history.
That was crazy. You know, Braden yelled at me during the play because I got him in the switch. I was guarded by Connect, and Ziegler was guarding him, so I set the screen, and I didn't get out of the way, and Braden told me to get out of the way. And, you know, I spaced out, and, you know, Braden drove Connect, and Ziegler helped in just a little too much, and, you know, I just shot it. I didn't think too much about it. Obviously, I think I missed one before that when Zach kicked it out. I think we mainly had two threes before that.
Yeah, we didn't have many threes.
3 of 15 or 3 of 17, something like that.
Only had two threes before that. One was in the first half, and I don't know if we made it in the second half. And yeah, when it came, I just let it fly, and I was so glad it went in.
Well,
me too.
You and a couple hundred thousand Purdue people. There, that building. How cool was that to have that advantage? I had so many media members, NCAA people, said they never saw that big of an advantage at a regional final.
Really? Wow.
Which was really cool to see. And it did. It felt like a home game for us.
Oh, it was unreal.
And when that shot went in, that, of course, was the probably the high water mark in terms of the noise. But obviously, we were able to close that out. That feeling on the court there afterwards.
Oh, it was crazy.
Pretty special, huh?
Yeah, it was crazy. But I, you know, I couldn't think too much about myself. I was just happy for Coach Payne because he deals with a lot, and he keeps us level-headed. And he, you know, he just carries himself a certain way. And for him to be such a good coach and go through so much, I think it was kind of just a happiness for him. It wasn't more, you know, about myself.
Did at what point did you kind of take a moment and think about your journey and your dad and your mom, and just kind of take that, and when did that hit home?
I think, you know, when A-Puff was handing out our hats and shirts, you know, I kind of just looked around, and Mason, Coach Brantley, you know, they said, you're like, your dad's looking down happy, and I was like, for sure. And then when we were cutting down the net, I went up to go see my family, and every game my brother, since my dad got cremated, every game my brother would bring, he has his own little thing of ashes.
Yeah.
So he brought my dad to every game, and
that's awesome.
Yeah. So he was. He always brought my dad with me. So it was real good.
That's awesome. That's a special moment. Special moment. Great story.
Great story.
And then we go to Phoenix, and an incredible
way
to take a city over with a fan base.
That was crazy.
Just memory. I mean, just so many memories and cool things too. Like you know, having Devin Booker come to the hotel. All the things that go with it, and just the build up and the size of the place, and playing in front of that many people. And
never would have imagined it. I think I was more nervous though at the open practice.
Really?
Yeah. We had the closed practice before, and then just shooting in front of the people there for the first time. It was,
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah. You had 14 points against North Carolina State, so you weren't very nervous in the game.
No.
You know why you need a couple days to get out there and get used to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. There's no doubt. When I first walked out there, I was like wow.
Yeah.
Never would imagine playing in a stadium
of
75,000 people.
Pretty special way to cap off a career.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Well, Lance, we end every one of these podcasts with the final four questions, and they're just quick, kind of off-the-beaten-path type questions. So Our final four here with Lance Jones. Question number one is, what is your go-to music of choice? Maybe a favorite artist or favorite type of music?
Drake. You know, I don't think you can go wrong with Drake, so.
Yeah, very popular selection.
Yeah.
In that category over the who has the worst taste in music on our team, by the way?
Will.
Will. Wilberg?
Yeah, Will.
Is it just all Swedish music, or?
Well, it's a little bit of that. It's a little bit of Ice Spice. Just some...
What?
Wow. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to see Will next. He's just going to drop his head like, who said that?
Yeah.
Okay. Question number two in the final four. Your all-time favorite book, or maybe a good book you've read recently? Or if you're not, a big reader, that's fine too.
Yeah, no, I'm not a big reader.
Gotcha.
I'm not a big reader.
Gotcha. Question three here on the final four is, if you could wave a wand and do any profession starting tomorrow, other than basketball, what would it be?
Football.
Really?
Really? Yeah.
So you quit football, but
you said you didn't like football.
Yeah, I think those are the two best sports, though.
Ah, I got you. Yeah. What position would you play?
You know, I've heard maybe safety.
Yeah. Okay.
Wide receiver, something like that.
Yeah. 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 Stay away from. You don't want to be running back. You beat up too much.
Yeah, you know.
You'll be that guy streaking down the sideline doing it, and you'd have a touchdown dance too. I know that would be covered.
Yeah, definitely.
Last question on the final four. What is something that no one or very few people know about Lance Jones?
I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of an open book.
I feel like you are too. I'm trying to think if there's something.
Don't know about me.
Yeah, that's the problem, Lance. You've had so many stories and
I think I've written about you.
Any interesting hobbies or anything, or anything you do that just that maybe your teammates think is weird, that like is different?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think we all play the video game together.
Yeah.
We all go on bike rides together. I don't think there's anything.
I didn't know that. You guys go on bike rides together? I didn't know that.
Yeah, me, Miles, Braden, and Carson.
Huh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I don't think I knew that.
Really? Yeah, we
got just like, ride around campus, or
yeah, we got like an NIL thing.
Oh, with, that's right, those bikes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So yeah, I think I'm pretty much open book, and everybody knows a lot about me.
What is next for you? We didn't ask that.
I'm gonna try pro. Okay. Whether it's at the G League level, I want to stay in the States for sure. I think going to Europe was kind of a good thing for me, just so I can experience how it would be just being away from home. I didn't like it. So I'm going to try pro, at least G League. Trying to figure out an agent now. And, just go from there.
Well, and that's another reason why those trips are so valuable. It tells helps you get stuff figured out. So when you get to this point in your life, you already feel like you know a little bit of what's going on.
Definitely.
So.
Definitely.
Well, Lance, I got to tell you, man, it's been a really special year with you. Like I said earlier in the show, there's not been a guy that's immersed himself more in our program in a shorter amount of time than you have. And you've obviously done special things with us on the court, but I also look forward to just more stuff off the court with you.
Definitely.
And just keeping that relationship and wearing you out to get back to playing alumni games in a couple of years.
Checking on the little Blooms.
Yeah.
The little Johnsons.
Lance has been known to jump on the on the video games with my children, so then I'm sure they'll be continuing. I'll probably get my updates through them. Actually,
you probably will. Charlie will definitely tell you for sure.
Charlie's like, "Hey, Dad, I know what Lance is doing.
Yeah,
I just played video games with him last night."
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right, brother. Well, I appreciate it, and thanks so much for everything, and appreciate you coming on, and love you, man.
Of course, love you too, man. Thank you, guys.
All right, that's episode 98 here on the podcast with Lance Jones. I want to thank everybody for listening and remind everyone, until next time, be curious, be informed, and be well.
Murray Clisby. Good night, everyone.